Welcome to the Mother Pucker Podcast. It has been a long time, but we are back, baby. Hi, I am Larice. I am one of the Mother Pucker hosts. I'm here with my co-host, the fabulous Riz. Riz, how are you? Welcome back.
You know what? It's so nice to be back after our long break. I don't think we intended for it to be so long. We took an all-star break of our own, and then we became way too big of all-stars and forgot to resume our...
We did. It was like a break that became extended accidentally, but life happened, and I moved, and you had life and work stuff, and it wasn't intended to be almost 2 months long, but we hope that there are a few of you out there still ready to tune in, because we're ready to get back into it, because it has been an exciting time as an Oilers fan.
It is so fun to be an Oilers fan, and let me just say, start the preface by saying, when we started this show, this is the excitement that we thought we were going to be talking about all year.
Such hope we had, hey? Such like naivete and hope in the summer. Yes,
we did. And then we were in for the rudest of rude awakenings. And it was just so depressing. We're like, why did we even start a podcast about this team? Like, they are garbage. And they went from second last place in the league to now ninth in the league overall.
Yes. Ninth in the league and second in the Pacific as of today. That has got to be some that's got to be some numbers there, friends. I would love to know what else, like who other teams in the NHL have done that and recently, because I don't know that many.
And do you remember last year how much fun they were to watch in general? And it just seemed like the whole year they were rolling. There was a hot streak. There was a cold streak before Christmas, but like, never as streaky. Like, we didn't talk about 16 games in a row last year. And did you happen to know that at this point in the season, they are actually with more wins because they have less overtime losses? So we actually at this point are higher ranked than we would have been last year at this exact point.
That's wild.
Would have thought that we could get here by the way the season started.
In October, November, like, we were like, just blow it up. Like, blow it up blow it up. McDavid's going to leave anyway on us. Yeah. Drysdale's going to leave anyway on us. Get rid of dump Nurse's massive $9 million contract. We were like, it's over. It's over, friends. It's
done. Yep.
The era is done. And we didn't even get to the Stanley Cup final.
Might have been a little dramatic on our part.
We were a little, there was a little drama.
It's hard not to be when you're second last place in the league.
Yeah. When San Jose beat us. Right. Yeah. So like, I think there's just like, I think people forget that Oilers fans just have like, well, there's some trauma. We have some deep seated trauma. We need like probably some more therapists on file or on speed dial for Oilers fans, because it's like you get glimmers of hope and then we get crushed. But again, now things that the Knobloch bump is no longer a bump. It can no longer be a bump because they went on to win 16 games in a row. After like a few games that they had lost after he took over,
it was three. So and then it was three prior to that. So it was 19-3 in the first like 21 games.
That's not a bump. That's insane. That's not a bump.
And have continued to hold those. I don't like. Yes, there's been. They've never lost more than three in a row since.
No, they haven't.
And it's mostly been one or two max.
So I looked at the numbers since the All-Star break, because then we had the fear, right? So we were on this massive roll. Mm-hmm. And then obviously all of us with our trauma were like, oh God, the All-Star break. We don't want to take a break. Please don't take a break. Just keep going. It's going to ruin the karma. Yes. But they, and unfortunately, yes, they came back and they lost to Vegas on February 6th, which ended that streak.
And, you know, like that was the game that everyone was worried about, because to the haters of the haters, the answer was always, oh, let's, you played all the easy teams. Let's see what happens when you're up against a tough team. That game, and I know it was a long time ago now, but I have not forgotten that game, because they come back from it was the true test. And in my opinion, they passed the test. They played unbelievable.
Yes.
It was a full on, everyone coined it the playoff game. Like like McDavid was throwing his body around. It was.
Didn't we get goalied too? Like, wasn't it just like I can't remember now all of them, but like, wasn't it? It was like that should have gone in on a normal day.
Yeah, I think we scored two.
Yeah.
Yeah. And called back or yeah, just like it was a game that it was tight. It was so fast paced. There was so many big hits and they played phenomenally. And once again, Aiden Hill had our number. That's really what it came down to.
Yeah.
Which is terrifying, but also like very settling because I was like, they were in it, you know, and it wasn't like they just came back flat and got rolled. Like they came back and then they lost one game and they turned around and they played Seattle 2 days later. And it was another big win and they got it when they needed it. It was like, they just picked back up where they were,
where they left off. And I think that, you know, it's helpful to know now, like, okay, like Vegas now is our Goliath. Do you know what I mean? Or like that's it was Calgary at one point, right? Like we got to get past Calgary and like stake the claim in Alberta. And then it was Los Angeles and it's always been Los Angeles for a few years in a row. Right. Yeah. And then it's like, okay, no, we have your number. Like, that's good. Like we know we can beat you and we can beat you again. And now we know our Goliath in the West is Vegas. And the depth that Vegas has, and we're going to have to find a way through. Since February 6th, so since losing and like the streak ending at 16 games, we have gone on to win 11 out of our 19 games. So 11 wins, 8 losses, but close losses for most of them. There's not been a major blowout, maybe one. I think that was Columbus.
Columbus the Jackets was not a strong, last, that was no, not a strong was standing.
Not
last
a good
week.
Day. No. But that was it. The rest of like a one goal game or an overtime loss.
Yeah. So, I'm just looking back on the schedule right now. And so I do apologize. It wasn't Seattle. They played right after Vegas. They went on to beat the Ducks 5-3. Then they lost a crappy one to the Kings 4-0. That was the second part of a back to back. Again, not. And then they dusted the Red Wings 8-4. Blues. That was a tough game too, 6-3. I just remember Big Two didn't show up in that one. And then a tough overtime comeback against the Stars, where they were down and they scored late and then came back and won.
That's a test for me because I think the Stars are a hot team and they're going to be like I think they're probably between, you know, us and them coming out of the West. So
you think that, well, I mean, we're going to get to that part, but the West, whoever makes it out of the West, I'm so nervous for, because
me too,
it's just going to be a bloodbath.
They're going to be banged up
out
like
of the
so
division. Like just to get out of the division, just to get out. Like if you look at the lineup of, I'll put the Oilers in the mix, obviously biased, but like you can't deny it. They're the hottest team in the NHL.
Yeah.
The Oilers in the mix, you've got Nate McKinnon just putting the whole team on his back. The Avalanche just made like some major plays at the deadline to load up. They're all in. Dallas Stars made a couple moves too. They're all in. And you can't ever count the Kings out. And then also we still got to talk about the Vancouver Canucks.
We just all avoided. Like, I know we have to. We have to talk about the Canucks as much as we would like to avoid the fact that they are currently first in the Pacific. It's just easier to be like they don't exist.
Yeah. Oh well, and then we got to talk about the Vegas Golden Knights and their $10 million that might be in play from Game One of the Stanley Cup
of the Stanley
playoffs.
Cup final. Yeah. Like or Stanley Cup playoffs. Yeah. Like
yeah.
We know that this is a common thread. Mm-hmm. Mark Stone gets injured in February every year. I guess apparently this time it is true. I am a bit skeptical. I think it seems like
fake a lacerated spleen, but like enough. There are varying degrees of this. Like degrees you could lacerate your spleen and miss a week, or you could lacerate your spleen
and be out
and be out for like 3 months. So
absolutely.
We don't know the degree.
No, we don't. And it's just convenient. It's like what the boy that cried wolf, right? Or that like the story where you're like, how many times at this time of year is this going to be the same story?
I mean, we can say the same thing about Kucherov, right? And yeah, Colorado's technically, it sounds like it's not going to happen, but Landeskog is kind of like sitting on that bench too. And I think they were hoping he was going to be back, but you can't hate the player. You got to hate the game, right?
You do. Like, absolutely. You know, you just like, if this is the way that Bettman's NHL works, well, people are going to start gaming harder, right? This is the way it's going to look like every team starting to do this. If that's what's happening and it seems like it's a convenient system to work around, if that's the need. But we'll see. Yeah. Vegas definitely loaded up.
Mm-hmm. With Thomas Hertl, that came out of nowhere. And I love Thomas Hertl's game. Very surprising that I mean, the Sharks sold all of their assets. Like, who still plays in San Jose? I don't even think it could name you a single person.
Can they name? Can they like dress a whole team? Like, at this point? I don't know.
And it's funny because it's like that was a club that had the same core 5 or 6 guys for the better part of, I'm gonna say like 6 years.
Yeah, like half, at least half a decade. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. So really interested to see like how that kind of all falls out. And obviously that's a rental because Vegas can't afford to pay him. And
nope.
Like, again, it's just like getting out of the West. It's like, we have such a good team, but like, so does everyone else.
So does everyone else. And injuries and the intensity of playoff hockey. You're like, whoever is coming out of the West, like, I hope they have really good massage therapist doctors. Like, they're going to need to triple up because it's going to be some pain management.
And another thing that we know that the Oilers maybe didn't play a really rough and tough style of hockey. I think a lot of they played a lot of pretty, really fast moving. But I think that's the one thing that Kenny Holland did address in the trade deadline. Is we got some tough guys, and not just at the deadline. We can start with the Oilers as
another reclamation project. Yes. We like our reclamation projects with the Oilers.
Do.
How do you feel about this one? Corey Perry coming to the Oilers. I can't believe I'm saying those words out loud, but it feels like now that it is done and dusted, you know, it's like he's always been there. You know, we used to hate Corey Perry deeply. Loathe him.
Loathe Corey Perry.
And now he is wearing the orange and blue. Mm-hmm. After having some personal situation mm-hmm. in Chicago and was let go of, and mm-hmm. comes at a very cheap price because that's all we have for space. Mm-hmm. What do you think about Corey Perry on the Edmonton Oilers?
You know, I thought he stepped in. I was more worried again. It was like, remember we had this discussion about a little bit of Evander Kane can maybe be a locker room, and you can tell this team is vibing right now. Like, you can tell that they love each other. They're playing for each other. Like, that's the kind of team that I think always has the most success. It's the teams that are just all about each other. I think that's the best example of that is the St. Louis Blues that won in 2019. Cause
yeah,
they just were like the boys together. And like, that's how they completely turned their season around when they were in last place in January. So,
yep.
The Corey Perry situation, he's there. Apparently he is like behaving like an angel. I don't know if he's really like been himself. And he's just there to like kind of do a job. Now, would I like to see him be himself on the ice? We need him to be. Yeah. That's what we brought him in for. He has 5 goals and maybe like 7 assists or something. So he's definitely not, you know, first or second line material, but I think we kind of recognize that's not where we would slot him in. He's more to be a third and fourth line kind of guy. I haven't seen the grit yet. I've seen him be a little chippy and a little, you know, but
a little chippy, a little chirpy, but yeah, like a little bit. Sure.
But I will say this, like, I'm happy that he's on our team because heading into playoffs,
Yes. We, you know, those people we hate, that we love to hate, the mm-hmm. the Marchands, the Doughtys, the like mm-hmm. few of them where you're like, I hate that guy. I hate that mm-hmm. guy when he's playing against me. But coming into playoffs, you need one of the two of those on your team, especially when you have someone, you know, when you have the skill of McDavid and you know he's just going to be physically targeted at every moment of the game. To have somebody who could potentially go out there and stir up some trouble or to drag a team back into something with their attitude and demeanor is a helpful situation.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. So I am, again, it's just so funny. It's like, we are the rehabilitation program. And I'm okay with that if it means we win championships. So.
Me too. Yeah, me too. And of all the things right now, it seemed like, you know, this wasn't like a legal lawsuit going to like the police rehabilitation program. This was some sort of personal issue, clearly getting help and seeking out help for it. And I hope nothing but the best for Corey in that side. But with that then comes like, great, no locker room drama. Don't bring the drama in, like get in. And it does seem like he is gelling. And I'm hoping that we see the real, like the true Corey Perry that we all love to hate in the playoffs, because we're going to need him.
Exactly. So what are your feelings about the other moves that were made during the trade deadline?
Trade deadline. So, you know, I think I had read somewhere, I was like, what grade would you give Ken Holland? I don't know, like a B. I think we have more depth, which mm-hmm. we're going to need. That was mm-hmm. our problem against Vegas last year, I think. Mm-hmm. They're just a really deep team. And, you know, and if they can stop our first line, or if they can, you know, shut us down in a few ways, then it's harder to get our third and fourth line going. Mm-hmm. So I think having Henry is an interesting piece of the puzzle, especially if he can take faceoffs, and if he's got, and I think he's got a pretty good faceoff percentage.
I think so. That's another kind of advantage of having him on, so we can kind of not have to rely on Draisaitl so much for the faceoffs. It's more like get another guy in who's got equally, well, maybe not equally, because we know Draisaitl's the best, but like, you know, one of the top in the league. Ability to take a face off, get in there, know you're going to get that win. Don't have to have Draisaitl on for every single shift. Let those Absolutely. Guys like
actually have some time off. Time. Yeah. Take some rest and recoup breaths.
Yeah. And like you said, it's depth, right? It's like you can trust that the guys that are on the ice are going to get it done.
Yeah. Last night, Setcher got in for his first game. You know, I'm not
like an assist.
Got an assist, right? Mm-hmm. Like, welcome to the Edmonton Oilers. So, mm-hmm. you know, it almost great that X was sick. I want, you know, X to come back extra healthy, but it's great to get Stetcher in there. I don't know a lot about his game, like just in passing, but yeah, I was happy with what I saw last night. Seemed to slot in quite nicely. And again, just, we know there's going to be banged up bodies. We know what's coming, especially for the team, especially out of the teams we know we're about to play come playoff time. So I think that just, that extra depth. So yeah, I would say like Holland, it was a B+. Sure. Would we want something splashy? Am I still sometimes nervous about goaltending?
100%.
Yes, I am.
Especially on the first goal last night. I'm like,
first
really?
Goal. Yeah. And you're like, I know, here we are again. First goal. And then after like what, 10 shots, it was like Skinner, Carey Price them. Like it turned it on. But
no, that wasn't 10 shots. That was 10 minutes, and it was his first save of the game.
First save, I know, right?
So last night was the game that the Oilers won 7-2. And
I know.
And first two shots of the game that took place in the first 10 minutes of the game, because Skinner saw zero shots, were in the back of the net, and then saved.
And all of Oilers Nation and all of Oilers fans, everyone panicked. There's like a moment of like,
Yes.
Are we here again?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But then you're right, because then it was like from then on, he made, in the rest of the game, he made two unbelievable, like one diving paddle save that was like a guarantee. And then another like.
Yeah, really both on Ovi, grade eight, just being like walled by Skinner after those two. And so, you know, like, am I still a little bit nervous? Was I hoping for something maybe a bit more all in mentality? I was, but I also understand nobody wants to trade to us. Nobody wants to make a deal that isn't going to fleece us, because nobody wants to see Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl do successfully in the playoffs. Like we know that. That's just an inevitability now. You don't, you know, you're not going to hand over anybody to like give more depth to a team with the two best players in the, or to one of the best player and then one of the top five best players in the world.
Agreed. And you know why I'll give Holland, just to wrap up the trade deadline moves, and the other player we acquired, Sam Carrick, like tough guy, again, didn't really know much about his game, but so far, like he plays limited minutes, but I think he, again, just helps us with that grit. When you know you got a guy that's ready to do anything on the team, like I think that's really, it's just a confidence booster.
Didn't
for the
his first
guys,
game
right?
In orange and blue, didn't he drop the gloves?
He dropped them. Yeah, he sure did. Against what's his name? I can't remember his name, but he's a absolute mutant.
He's
he's one of the guys who fought the Rempire State Building. In that, we can talk about that in a bit too. But I just want to wrap up Ken Holland's B+ is what I'll give him, because you're right. I understand why they didn't change up the goalie situation. I think there's a great kind of chemistry between Skinner and Pickard right now, and the guys have a lot of trust in Skinner right now. I think
Pickard's playing solid too.
For sure he is. For sure he is. Our defensive structure is significantly better. Like that is like I don't even know if you could say for a long time that the problem was directly on Skinner. It was just like people were getting such easy looks on him, right?
Absolutely.
And they're rotating so much better that I just think that it's a lot easier for Skinner now to
Paul Coffey for not wanting the job. Thank you, Paul Coffey. The Coffey effect. Like Vinny Desarnais playing with Darnell Nurse. Vinny Desarnais. I'm thrilled. I love it. I'm here for it. It is a vibe. It is a vibe. But could after last year's playoffs, that's a shocking thing to say out loud.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. And then with Holland not trading any players, I think that was a huge piece that he was able to get in and somehow pulling it off that like Henrique's salary was only 50% to Tampa and then only 25% retained. So he only paid like 25% out of our
on the
to
doll.
Get Henrique. Like,
absolutely.
Like, however he managed that, that is magician work. So you got to give him props.
Yeah.
We're still mad at him for a lot of other things. So we're only going for the B plus, but bravo, sir. This team is. It's better. It's better.
It is better. It's deeper and it's better.
Yeah. So
and like you said, they didn't have to give anybody up. And there is a chemistry in that room right now that seems to be gelling. You can just tell, like, you know, maybe pulling a piece out would have caused some dominoes, change things, caused some dominoes to fall. So yes, no one had to leave. And that's like a positive thing. So, so, you know, Kenny, this is your last year. You're going out on a B plus. Let's see what happens. I'm excited for the playoffs and thank you for getting what you could do.
It goes every round they go to, it gets a higher grade.
That's right. Absolutely. Holland, we're marking you accordingly.
Your marks are debatable.
Amazing. Well, that you know, that wraps up our trade talk. What else is happening around the league that we haven't really stepped in to chat about?
Well, I love this story, and I know we didn't talk about it in our little preamble, but Matt Rempe, have you like been following this?
I have. I'm so torn because I like love the energy that this New York Ranger little stud's coming in with. But I'm also worried about his brain.
100%. 100%. So I have a little bit of a personal connection to him. I've met him before twice. His sister, who is also a former hockey player, I think she played at Cornell. So or Brown. She went to Ivy League. She's kind of a big deal. She trains at the same gym that I do. And so he, in the summertime, was in there twice. And I'm like, who is this massive child?
Like,
and then
I like a green bean, giant, ginormous human being.
He's huge. He is so big. And it's funny because on the CrossFit, like the bars are at the top where we do our pull-ups for, and he can't use any of them because he's too tall.
Oh, bless. Oh, bless his soul.
But also I remember I would have watched him at Memorial Cup the year before because he played for Seattle. So, so I think he will go down in history as the most epic entry to the NHL. And it was like,
Guns a-blazing. Like, just came in guns a-blazing.
But like, who gets their first NHL game to be an outdoor classic, MetLife, no bucket, toucan, like, rookie lap, like that's already epic in itself.
Yes,
right?
It
like,
is.
That's insane.
That's a great start.
Then you drop them, and then you go on to get in a fight like
every night
game
against everybody,
against every tough guy that exists,
and holding his own, like seriously holding his own.
And to have Revo say that, like, this guy's gonna be a menace when he learns how to fight because his reach is just so insane, and like that. He fought Revo and he was just had his left and he was popping him because he's got to learn how to protect himself. Like there's a lot of things that happen. And I'm with you. Like the like female brain in me was like, Kate, maybe like take a couple nights off of fighting.
Just like let your like massive black eyes, like both seriously. They're like, like let them turn to green.
Yeah.
And then think about it again.
And it sounded like Laviolette like was trying to slow that down too.
Yes.
And then well now he's Now he's got to slow it down because he was walking the line, and that 4-game suspension was very warranted because that was a greasy hit.
It was greasy. Yes. And so now some time to just chill. Like, you have staked your claim. Mm-hmm. You have put the NHL on notice. We see.
Everybody knows who you are, though.
We know who you are. Bravo, sir. Bravo, sir. You've made your mark. But now let's just keep your brain like intact and your face intact for the remainder of the season.
Yes. Absolutely. Well, I think that was a pretty cool start. What else do you got? What are you watching around the league?
I'm watching the Vancouver Canucks.
I guess you're in Vancouver. Tell us, what's the vibe like in Vancouver? Because I just choose to ignore them.
I have, for as much as I possibly can. I do wear my Oilers gear proudly and I get chirped on the daily. Of course. But, you know, I think it's interesting because there's that, like, I think that fear is now creeped in. Like, now imposter syndrome is here. It wasn't. There was just like blind optimism. Mm-hmm. But now, you know, got a goalie who's injured and they're kind of hitting some trouble, right? There's been teams come back. Like, they've gone up by 3 goals. Happened again last night. Colorado happened a few days ago. That they're starting hot and they cannot finish a game. So I think the like imposter syndrome or the fear now of like, oh, we actually have to be able to like maintain this.
Which
is coming in.
Which they have. This point. Like, they've played, what, 65 games? And like, there's never really been a lull until probably the last 5 games, we'll call
Absolutely.
It.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, I think they're just, you know, I'm hearing people talk on the streets. Funny, I was out today for a walk and this group of gentlemen were outside talking and they were like looking through the standings and like, I just like tried to eavesdrop a little bit. And I was like, oh yeah, they're talking like, oh, the West is now tough. Like, now here we come. Like, here comes, the Oilers are right behind you. Yeah. 3 games in hand, 9 points behind at the first. Mm-hmm. You can never discount Vegas because they throw everything on the line. Like, they throw all chips in. Another, you know, little Vegas reference Vegas. There for you.
Yeah,
they throw all chips in every year. You can't underestimate, like, LA, Winnipeg is a beast still too. Like, I think that they definitely
didn't even throw a reference to Winnipeg, but yeah, like, it's, you know what? And just like on the Winnipeg thing, have you heard about the ticket situation there?
It's, I haven't gone deep, but I heard it was bad. Like, wasn't there threats of like moving them again?
Yeah. So they have the smallest arena in the league. It only seats, I think, like 15,000 or just shortly over that. So in order for their management to make money, they need that barn sold out every night, and they are good. They are very
really good.
They win, and they're not selling tickets at all. Like, they're struggling to get people in there. It is constantly
Why is that?
If I had to guess, I'd say economy. I say people can't afford to go to games.
Probably.
Now, there's like, it's interesting because here in Calgary, and again, it's Calgary, it's a much bigger city. Yeah. And they're not as bad as Winnipeg, but like, people are struggling to get rid of their tickets. Like, season ticket holders always like buy their tickets and then they hope to sell them off to kind of cover the cost of like at least going to the games that they want to at the price they want to, sort of deal. Yeah. And I've talked to a couple season ticket holders who are like, I'm selling tickets for $30 on the game of. So like, people are still going to games, but they're paying a lot less. Like, they're paying way below face value. So people are losing money, maybe not necessarily the team. And a lot of people are giving up their season tickets for next year. So that's really interesting. But in Winnipeg, I think they have a smaller pool of people to choose from.
Yeah.
They're in kind of the middle of Canada, that maybe there's not as many kind of higher end jobs and resources there. And they also, they were being super greasy. And I don't know if this is true, but I heard it. I think I heard on Spit and Chicklets that, that if you are a season ticket holder and you wanted to transfer your tickets to somebody else, like you wanted to pay, like somebody paid you for your tickets and you just wanted to transfer them, they were like, the arena was charging you a fee.
Oh my goodness.
So it's like, they're your own tickets. It's not like you're reselling them through Ticketmaster or something like that. Like, you've made your own sale and you still have to pay a fee just to like move them off your phone.
That's insane. And that's just going to like make people mad.
Piss people off.
It's and going
then,
to.
So, then it becomes a retaliation, absolutely. Right? Like, screw absolutely. You.
Why that's like, that's you? Like yeah. nickeling diming, right? Like mm-hmm. people get greasy, then get angry. They're like, no, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause Winnipeg is good. Like it's different if it's a team in the middle of nowhere. That's like.
For sure. If you got a team.
The Phoenix Coyotes, yeah. you know, like this isn't the Phoenix. Like this is a team that is at the top, like. It is excellent team. Yeah. They're playing excellent hockey. And if they're having trouble selling tickets, like what we're in, that's not good.
Yeah. They were leading their division is tight. Like, so they're third in the division right now in the Central, but they have 87 points and the Stars and Avalanche both have 89. Like that's how tight it is.
It's within a game.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yikes. So
crazy.
Winnipeg, go out and see your hockey team while you still have it, friends. Yeah, they're playing them. Excellent hockey.
Yeah.
Holy moly. Well, if we're going to talk about excellent hockey and wrap this up with maybe some good news, can we talk about last night's hockey game and a certain someone scoring or getting a giant gorilla off of their back before we leave? Because I'm hoping it means the floodgates are just going to open.
Well, you know what? And even if they don't, I think that moment was so special. And I have to tell you a quick story. So the game is so late. I've a lot
so
of
late.
Stuff going on. At least you're an hour behind.
That's true.
But okay. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to bed after the second, but I have a dog. So second ends, I go walk the dog, come back in. And then I'm like, well, I got to like wash my face, brush my teeth, that whole jazz. That's like a,
yeah, got to do the nighttime routine.
You know, I got the skincare. So I popped my laptop on. So cause the third was just starting and I just like had a feeling. I just was like, you know what? All these goals are going in. I'm like, I feel like tonight is the night that Connor Brown is going to get one. And I was just thinking to myself, I'm like, what kind of memes would be out there if Connor Brown getting one? And sure enough, I like finish brushing my teeth, like spit it out, and Connor Brown scores a goal. And I'm just like, oh my God, my life is complete. Like,
I know.
Yeah.
So I had an event last night and so yeah. we PVR'd the game and I knew I was going to come home like basically at the end of the first, like that's when I knew we would be. Yeah. So we'd be like a period behind.
Right.
So we kind of catch up. So we normally like turn off our phones because family will text or someone mm-hmm. be like, someone checking in on the game, right? Whatever. Yeah. So, but we didn't. And so we're watching the first and Jordan's friend who my partner Jordan's friend texts him something about the game and he's like ignored it and mm-hmm. then my father texts was like, are you watching the game? And so then we started making like a prediction. We're like, okay, is this going to be a blowout or are we going to blow them out? Something's happening clearly. Yeah. And I guess it was at this point probably because it was like 5-2 or 6-2 or whatever, right? Like I don't know, because we were really behind
five, two,
at this point,
5-2 at the end of the second. Yeah,
5-2 at the end of the second, right? So that's where we were at there at the end of the second. We're just in the first. Mm-hmm. And we're like, okay. And then the phone texts again, like, hello. And we're like, okay, so what is this? Either we go up by 10 mm-hmm. or they come back and they're spanking us by 9.
Yeah.
Or everyone is fighting and there's like 16, you know, like
there's a goalie fight.
There's a goalie fight. Yeah. This is like another goalie Calgary situation. Yeah. Or, and then Jordan's like, what if Connor Brown scores? Like, no, it can't happen. Connor Brown.
And you're like, sure no, enough, of all the options,
I was like, I'm pretty sure Stuart Skinner will probably fight someone before Connor Brown
or score.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, everyone's mm-hmm. in the penalty box, like 600 people are in the penalty box. Like mm-hmm. that's probably more likely. Anyway, yeah. So then when he scores, he just stood there, like looking at it, like, is it real? Did this just happen? I think we both, like, our little guy was asleep. We both just, like, screamed. Like, we just were so excited. And then to see the response from the fans, like, the yes,
fans.
I'm the fans, oh, so
like
beautiful.
Goosebumps.
Me yeah. too. I totally did. I was like, am I getting teary over Connor Brown?
Yeah.
What is happening right now? Who am I? But I think, like, yes, I think that it also was part and parcel for the fact they were up 7-2 or at that point 6-7-2, right? Like,
yeah.
I think that was helpful because the fans were just in a gloriously, like, cheerful, amazing spirit. Everyone is in a great mood when you're blowing out a team. But I think then just like that just took it over the top. And to see the fans with a 2-minute standing ovation.
The Connor Brown cheer to go with it. Like,
I know.
I was supposed to
on
be, like,
such a greasy, dirty goal. Like nothing beautiful. Oh,
but you knew that was the only way he was going to be able to get the first one out. Like, I don't even think like Evander Kane banked it in off him, and he for sure did it on purpose. He's like, I'm gonna try and see if I can get Connor to score.
Yeah, I'm just gonna throw this at you, hope it hits you and goes in. Yeah, and Connor just stands there. I know, but I was just like, just thrilled, and I was so thrilled for the fans and the fan engagement, and I was like, yes, that's a taste of the playoffs, of what's to come. And like, for those new guys, like, welcome Henry, like, welcome Stetcher, this is what you get when you put your time in our team. Like, that's a fan base that'll, like, they're gonna know if you're playing terrible, they're gonna say it, but if you
sorry, go ahead.
I was just saying, like, I think, like, you know, we never saw him pout, we never saw him, you know, break a stick.
Showed up every day
with a smile on his face. Like, I'm sure maybe behind closed doors, he's probably screaming at the top of his lungs, like, get this devil off my shoulder. Let's just do this. But it was just like, it never didn't seem to affect his spirit in the game or his, like, attention to, like, okay, I'll just go do something better. Like, I'll make sure my minutes on the penalty kill are good. I'm going to make sure, like,
blocking shots, like,
absolutely blocking shots, do whatever I need to do other than this. Yeah. So yeah, I'm just wanting to give a huge shout out to Connor Brown. And the Edmonton Oilers fans.
And the fans of the Edmonton Oilers, because there is no other arena, I think, that would have done that. I really, honestly, from the bottom of my heart, would start a Connor Brown chant because he scored his first goal in almost 2 years. I understand in Canadian markets, like, we are paying attention a little bit more, but 18,000 or 19,000 people knew that storyline, you know? Yeah. Like, it's not just like the, like, corner of the season ticket holders that, like, pay attention and are diehards in a market like Boston or something like that. Like, 19,000 people knew that guy was just like, we needed him to get a goal. That's all we wanted. It's all anybody wanted. And they celebrated him so hard. And it was just like, it's special because it's like, this is what you get in Edmonton. Like, yes, it's going to suck when you suck because people are going to hold you to a standard because they know how you're playing. They know. Yeah. But they're also going to celebrate you when you deserve to be celebrated. And
absolutely.
Like, a moment that they deserved. And I'm just like, I'm proud of you, Edmonton fans. Good job.
I am too. I'm like, you just get on your feet. Good for you.
Yeah.
You could see the joy from everyone's faces. It honestly felt like a weight off all of our backs. Like, I know for me, I was like, oh, I feel so good now. Like, that was awesome.
I was so fired up from it. I'm like, I got to go to bed now. Like, I was like, I can go to sleep now. It's 7-2 and Connor Brown scored. Like, I can go to sleep. But like, I was just like too excited.
I was wired. I legitimately was like, I'm wired up. I'm fired up for them. I'm so thrilled for all of them. And then, of course, they announced that they had given the goal or changed the goal over from Bouchard back to Hyman. And then more hats come out. And, you know, I just think, like, yeah, I'm sure the Capitals were like, can we just get out of this building?
Yeah, like let us out.
Please let us go home. Go.
And the Caps had a tough, they had to fly last night after an 8 o'clock start to Seattle and play tonight. So good luck, boys.
Sorry, Ovi.
Sorry.
Good luck. But yeah, so I just hope that now that's the start of a few more goals for Connor Brown as we'll head towards.
We'll take a couple.
That's right. Yeah. Well, that sort of wraps us back up. I know that it has been a long time, but that sort of we just plowed through 19 games in almost a month and a half off break, our own self-imposed break.
Yes.
And now we're just gearing up for the last half of their last, like, quarter, I guess, of the season. Not even a half. It's a quarter of the season, couple weeks left until we head into the playoffs. So is there anything to wrap this episode up that you are looking for or looking to, or like where your eyes at, where your heart at in this last roundabout of the
game? Well, you're looking at me because I'm looking at what I'm looking to is I'm obviously watching. We are 9 points behind the Canucks. Vegas Golden Knights are, hold on one sec. What's the score down there? Vegas is currently beating Calgary. Well,
okay.
Okay, so let's just say they're at 79. So they're 4 points back. Kings are right there as well. So if playoffs were to start today, or there's a second, they'd be playing, well, according to this, it'd be the Kings, which, dear God. I mean, for the first round, between the Canucks, the Kings, and the Knights, who do you want first?
The devil you know, or the devil you also know, or the devil you don't want to know? Like, I don't know.
Just like, God, getting out of the Pacific Division is going to be so difficult.
A slog. Yeah. I guess you probably say the Kings first just because you have beat them 2 years in a row and you know.
But you know you're going to go seven, though.
You know it's going to be a dogfight.
Yeah.
Like a painful dogfight.
Yeah.
But it's a beatable dogfight. Mm-hmm. I think this last game, what I'm watching for is this last game against the Canucks. Home game against the Canucks, which is in April.
I thought we didn't play the Canucks again. I thought it was only 3 times.
We have one more game. It is. We've got one more game.
Oh, I thought they were done against the Canucks. Also, did you know we have not played the Avalanche yet, and we have to play them 3 times before the end of the season?
That's so going to be, you're going to know soon what that matchup looks like, right? I guess, because we have no idea at this point where it stands between the two teams. But we play the Canucks one more time, and
I believe you. You don't have to find it.
And it's got to be redemption.
Oh, April 13th.
Yeah.
The fourth last game of the year.
Yeah. So that is the game I'm watching for, because that's going to be it's pride, because they shellacked us both times, the times that we've played them. Two, it is to get into their heads for whatever comes after.
We played them 3 times. And three times. All three were when the first, there was two back to back to start.
Yep.
Back to back games.
Yeah. And they were like 8-1, 8-2. Yeah,
ridiculous. Just so embarrassing.
Mm-hmm.
No, it was 8-1 or 8-2 the first game. And the second game was a little bit closer, but they lost. I think it was 4-3. And then they dummied us again in 2 weeks later or whatever it was. So that's
the game I'm looking to. That's like a peak of the season for me, is like, how do our boys come back? And can they get under their skin? Can they get under the Canucks' skin and let them know what's coming in a few weeks?
Mm-hmm.
Can we redeem ourselves a little bit in Canada or the west of Canada? Mm-hmm. And can we put our flag in the sand to let them know, like, we're back and we're here, and whatever happens, you might see us. So I think that's what I'm looking towards.
Okay. Well, I love it. I love it. I look forward to that. I look forward to these last, what are we at? 14 games left ish, maybe a little bit more than that. Yep. I don't have it right in front of me.
Under 20, but that's for sure.
Yeah. And it's going to be a grind right to the end. And then I think it's going to be just another epic year of playoffs. Great. And I cannot wait.
Me either. But we will be back. We are not going to self-impose.
Correct.
You will hear from us more frequently. But this has been the Mother Pucker Podcast. We are so grateful for you tuning in. You can find our podcast wherever you get your podcasts, as part of the Ordinary Podcasting Network. The Mother Pucker Podcast is a proud member of the Ordinary Podcasting Network. For more information on this or any of our other podcasts, please visit ordinarypodcast.com. The Ordinary Podcasting Network would like to acknowledge that the lands on which our conversations take place include the traditional territory of the Treaty 7 people in southern Alberta and the Métis Nation of Alberta, as well as the unceded territories of the Coast Salish peoples, including the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh First Nations.